This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I know after talking with the suit, I need Brewers Outlet. All right, what? No? This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to bring in the outstanding four handicap, Nate Bauer. Sir, welcome.
Not a four, my guy. I wish.
Two.
Going the wrong direction.
I'm an optimistic person.
I like it. I'm gonna carry that with me next time out.
Yeah. Hey, so you and I got a chance to be in the stadium on Friday night, and
yep.
It is a construction zone.
It is.
And the bottom line is the work is already begun in earnest on the improvements to the stadium. What were just your general thoughts on what they're doing with all this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually wish I had taken more time to observe it for myself. But, you know, I saw enough, as you did, to have some general impressions. I mean, I think, look, it's a couple of things. One, there's stuff that is happening that was planned outside of the scope of the West Stands project that is happening. And to me, the big one that is not getting nearly enough airplay,
the ribbon board,
is
the ribbon board.
Correct. It's going to be huge. It will fundamentally, like, it's the biggest change of the stadium in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it will be not in place, is my understanding. It will not be in place for the start of the season, but I would anticipate it being done through the course of the season. So, that right there is a huge part of what's going on. That they are the structural support, you name it, is necessary to put a massive ribbon board above the last row of stands there on the upper deck of the south side. So that's one. And then two is, I think that the beginning stages of work for escalators and staircases, all of the ingress egress stuff that has been so problematic, it's not going to be done for this football season. That is not the intention. That's not really what's going on. But it's, they're laying the groundwork, right? When fans come to Beaver Stadium for games in September, it will look like a construction site.
Right.
So they are going, obviously they're going to make it as good as they possibly can in terms of not having disruption to fan movement and you name it. But all of those internals, right, which is such a huge part of the overall $700 million renovation, it's going to touch every part of the stadium, and they are beginning the process on those things.
Well, I mean, egress is something. Look, if something were to happen in there, I'm not talking about getting in, okay? The key is to get people out if something were to happen. And that's one of the reasons why they need to do all of this. Again, that's one of those scenarios that people never talk about, but this is one of the reasons they're doing this.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's look, I don't want to, and I've been called like a fear monger, right? As though I'm riling up stuff that's never possible, but that's not the world that we live in, right? I mean, even structurally, a lot of the perception about this project is, there's going to be a new west side of the stadium for rich people, right? No. Like, is that part of it? For sure. But the $200 million of backlogged maintenance...
No kidding.
It's incredibly important to the structural integrity of... Right? I mean, you got steel from... It's what, 8 years old?
There's 30
components of that stadium that are so... They just need help, and that's what a big part of this is going to be about.
Well, again, there are 30,000 seats in the stadium that were on the west side of campus and brought over in 1960. So those seats are 80, 85 years old, right? And the $200 million in backlog maintenance, look, it's time, right? And...
Yep.
Okay, this is about your experience. It's not about the team's experience, about your experience.
Yep. Yep, and I don't begrudge differing viewpoints on how to go about it. Everybody agrees that something had to be done. I think that the most fiscally prudent way to pay for what is already necessary is by creating revenue generation opportunities. I am fully on board, with that line of reasoning. And this kind of fits that middle ground, right? You saw what the numbers were for a completely new stadium. It was astronomical. Yeah. People are going to look, right? You and I, we can remember the $1 billion price tag for Jerry World in Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. And that was like, oh my goodness, what an incredible, lavish, over the top number. No, that's going to be cheap. Yeah. That's going to be cheap when it comes to
that's
new
right.
stadium builds in this current environment. So, they're moving ahead.
Well, I mean, I'll give you an example, okay? That's the Olympic Games. When you put in your bid for the Olympic Games, now in this case, Brisbane already has 2032. So here we are, 8 years out, Brisbane already has it. Most Olympic Games are awarded 7-8 years ahead. And they projected what costs are going to be for the facilities that they have to build. I mean, not everybody has a velodrome. All right? And all of a sudden, when the bill comes due in today's market... It's nowhere near what it was 7 or 8 years ago. If this project had been done 7 years ago, like they had talked about, it would have been about $400 million. But because it's now, it's more expensive. If you wait 7 more years, it's going to be double this number.
Yep. Yep. It is. It has been, in a lot of ways, the story of the football program over the last 15 years. And look, stuff happened, right? We can't gloss over it.
Mm-hmm.
There were severe financial, implications of the stuff that happened, 12 years ago now. And that created an environment where there was hesitance to invest in the program and to do the things that were necessary. But, bottom line, the bill has come due. And things that should have been done, things that should have been pushed. Look, I am a firm believer that striking while the iron is hot has been a major component of the success of other college football programs that you have seen nationally. And when Penn State had success in 2016 and 2017, it did not strike. Just in it as a program, as a community, as a broad-based booster support, you name it, there was no immediate dividend to the success that they had in 2016 and 2017. And does that seem like that long ago? No, but it is. It is. Right. And here and yep. here they are. And all of this stuff that needed to be done then is getting done now.
Another thing that's going to be due starting in the fall of 2025 will be $22 million. Coming up yep. on Thursday, the NCAA committee is meeting on opening the door for sponsorships, whether it's fields, jerseys, things like that, you know, patches on jerseys and so forth. How important is something like that, even though there'll be resistance to it, there'll be a segment of the fan base that'll be disgusted by it for about a year. Yep. But what does that mean to taking some of the burden off of donor-weary people?
It's all of it, right? Because it's not. It's also not an escape clause for donors, right? The pressure will still be on donors
sure.
to help
yeah.
support the program. But yeah, it's look. That is where things are. To me, this is where there are things that are a little bit worthy of lament. Is that mm-hmm. the coaching market got so out of control because the labor was free
yes,
for so many
right.
Administrators' salaries, you name it. Like the whole ecosystem that currently exists for college football is based on not having to pay players.
Yep.
Well, now you do. I don't think you're at a phase where it's not like Kalen DeBoer is going to make less money off of this, right? James Franklin makes less money. They're not taking pay cuts. So you have to find new revenue opportunities, new streams mm-hmm. To be able to input cash into your programs. Obviously, the television rights, the media rights in general are going to help everybody to that end, but it's not going to solve the issue of what they now have to do, right? I mean, there's no matter how you slice it, into infinity, as long as college athletics is a thing, there will always be a numbers crunch. Does yep. not matter. There will right. never be excess funds on the backside because every single program is competing with each other and is figuring out how to best utilize, and squeeze the most juice out of that money that they do have.
No question. And then for the NIL part, we'll see over the next couple of years whether parameters are put on NIL. We'll find out. But at the moment, that's not the case. There have been already some NIL events. There's plenty coming up in the next couple of weeks that will include both James Franklin and Mike Rhodes. And they have to spend yep. a lot of their time fundraising now, Nate. And you and I both know what they want to be doing. They want to coach.
Yep. Yep. It has, look, it's their jobs are not about the sports that they coach now.
Yep.
They're just not.
Yep.
Right, it is about how do you sustain all of these different tentacles that go into your athletics program, and it's not limited to football. I think the biggest misconception about this that people don't understand is it's not just James Franklin begging for money, and it's not just college football coaches across the country. Dan Lanning is begging for money. All of these coaches, right? Yeah. Ryan Day is begging for money. But also, so is women's ice hockey, right? Yep. So is gymnastics. So, like, all of these sports, NIL is in play. And are they on different, levels and spectrums? Yeah, for sure. But it's still in play for every single one of these programs. If you want to be competitive, you better have something in store to add on top of the value of your athletic scholarship, and it's just a constant struggle that they're trying to figure it out. I think everybody's doing it, kind of their own way to fit what their communities are and how support works. But yeah, it Mike Rhodes is asking for money. James Franklin is asking for money. That is a big part of what their off-season schedule is now, is grinding to try to build support for their program in the way that it's most needed.
Dick Girardi and I were talking about this the other day when we were coaches versus cancer, and with five returning guys, five of the top six scorers, that's unusual in today's college basketball. To then add in four recruits, and then to add into that four transfers, most of which, if not all, seem to enhance what they're doing. How interesting now has this Penn State roster become because of the construction of it 1 year after taking the job?
Yeah, I think it's extremely interesting. Honestly, am I going to sit here and project the tournament? No, because I don't think they have the shooter that they need. But I'm open to the possibility of being swayed, right? This is a team that now has... They accomplished a lot of different stuff between the retention, the transfer portal, and the incoming class. And what I mean by that is, from last year to this year, their scholarship distribution is way better. It is much improved, where they can lean in on the things that Mike Rhodes wants to do, which is player development. He loves taking... Yep. 18, 19-year-old guys, freshmen, sophomores, and putting the time in and letting them marinate, right? Like getting them, throwing them into the fire, picking and choosing your spots, and developing them through seasons. Can you guarantee that they're going to stay on the backside of that? No, of course not. That's not the age that we live in at this point. But they are able to have a team this season that has a ton of experience returning, a ton of good experience returning, right? These guys are talented basketball players, but also have a level behind them of really a sophomore class through the transfers that can play, right? Have an opportunity to get minutes, and then a freshman class on top of that, that you don't necessarily need, right? Miles Goodman, the bigs are under the microscope. That is absolutely certain. Niederhauser, Kachi, and Miles Goodman are all going to have to play this season. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you should be able to create, and I think that they will have it, a great environment for competition in practice. And that makes everybody better. It really does. There are minutes out there, including minutes that were had by some of those five returning players, right? Like Zach Hicks and Nick Kern, right? Those guys have an opportunity to get more minutes for themselves, Puff Johnson, or lose some, right? I mean, they might give some up from what they had last year if they can't fulfill and do the things that that Penn State needs on both ends of the floor this next season.
Tough question to close out. Legitimately a tough question. How does college sports keep its appeal and charm that has made it so popular while negotiating a heavy money era?
That's a good question. I think... Call me an optimist, but
you're an optimist.
I think that so much of the affinity for college athletics is already built in, that people can say what they want. Fans can say, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't believe it. The numbers say otherwise. The television contracts say otherwise. The television viewership numbers say otherwise. Right, Beaver Stadium might not be the same trend as other stadiums in the country in terms of continuing to fill up the stadium. Penn State has done a great job of that where others have fallen off. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just I'm not buying that argument. I'm not buying the argument that you're as a fan. Because Jalen Reed right, who is a worthwhile investment and earns the money that he is making, that you're going to be that turned off to not watch college football anymore. I don't buy it. But, you know, I'm sure there will be some out there who it just creates such a negative impression. What's so interesting to me about Penn State specifically is that you just don't see the garishness, I guess, that exists on the extremes of this. It is not a Colorado situation. It is not flamboyance. Are there nice cars in the parking lot at Lash? You betcha.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're leased. Those are leased cars. Those guys don't own $120,000 Mercedes.
That's right.
They are leased cars that are part of their NIL deals, but at what cost? I don't know. Maybe $10,000 for the year. It's just not the same. It's not the perception that people have on the broad scale. And I think that Penn State has an opportunity and should and does tap into that of saying, look, this is what this is actually doing. This is what this money actually goes towards. And it's not extreme and off-putting.
Do you know what my simple answer to that is? There is still a tremendous emotional attachment to the front of the jersey and not to the back of the jersey. That's all I think.
I'm so... Because, look, I have these conversations daily on our message boards, right? At Blue White Illustrated, we have message boards. I'm interacting with the fans every single day, and I love them. They are the lifeblood of how the program operates and certainly my business. But I just have this strange... There's a duality to it where... There's a resentment of one side of this, but also a celebration and acknowledgement of how good the kids are that Penn State typically brings in.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And
that's
it's so fascinating to me because how are you going to root against Nick Singleton?
Right. I know exactly.
How are you going to root against the financial success for these guys to leave their Penn State experience, whenever it is, when they leave their Penn State experience, they're going to have, at minimum, a nest egg or the opportunity to have a nest egg. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't get the notion that you could be against that. It doesn't align with the experience that I think Penn State fans have shown over the years.
We've been lobbying behind the scenes to have a tribute in the EA Sports game to you. So thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always, Nate. And congratulations. He's the
Thanks
big raffle winner
me.
On Thursday night, by the way. He was. There's no
invite. Thank you for having me as always. I very much appreciate it.
There's no invite to come over and share some of that. I noticed that.
I gave a few away.
I know you did.
Hey,
thanks, man. See ya.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Nate Bauer on 3.com Blue White Illustrated. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.